Does anybody remember what Craig taught last week? John, that's a good guess. Jesus? Does anybody really remember what Craig taught about last week? There was a certain word that he kept coming back to, that kept coming back in Scripture when he taught John 15 that Jesus was talking about, and it was abide. Abide in me. And Jesus talked about the vine and the branches. Anybody remember that? This is a really quiet crew today. Is it just too hot? Is it just summertime slump? There's not a lot of people? Is that what you said? We're going to go with that one. That's a good one. We're going to go with that one. So we talked about abiding in Jesus and what a life looks like abiding in Jesus, and he gave these different scenarios. In fact, Craig, it was really funny because Craig and I normally have this great relationship, and last week he was just really goofy and weird and super somber, and I thought, what is your problem? But I didn't come out and ask him, what is your problem? And then he got to the last part of his teaching where it got super serious. You remember that? Where he starts talking about losing his dad soon. And he starts talking about losing his dog and his cousin. And he starts talking about all these ways in which life can be very difficult, but we are supposed to abide in Jesus. And does our life match up to that? So we springboard out of that into the last half of this chapter 17, where Jesus is still talking. So if you're going to live a life that abides in Christ, he goes on to say, you're going to be hated by the world. Sounds awesome, right? No. That's the worst. So let's read it. It's John 15, verses 18 through 27, and we're actually going to spill into chapter 16 as well, verses 1 through 4a. We're going to split that up. Can we do that? All right. You got your Bibles? If you do not have a Bible, we want to give you one. There's Bibles out on the table. If you don't want to grab a paper copy, then download one on your phone. Read it. Be reading through John with us. Don't let this be the first time you hear the words of John when you come here in the morning. I want you guys to read these things. I want you guys to soak in these things. I want you to hear what Jesus has to say to you and me individually. So here we go. We're going to read it starting in verse 18. It says this, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. He's talking about God, the Father, who they claim they actually do know. They do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have not been guilty of sin. But now, they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me, hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. You remember Craig kind of talked about the Holy Spirit last week, right? Is a part of that? And then verses 1 through 4 and 16, it says this, I have said all these things to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think they are offering a service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you. So God goes through this beautiful thing of abiding in him and abiding in his love and abiding in his life. And this pruning process and this beautiful growth that's going to happen as a result of abiding in Jesus. And that all sounds incredibly awesome. That all sounds incredibly fine. I can swallow that. And then he's like, oh, yeah, and the world's going to hate you for it. If he would have led with, the world's going to hate you, I think the disciples probably would have just left. I would have. The world hates you. I'm out. But he starts with this beautiful abiding in him, and then he goes into this, the world hates you. And I read through this passage, and I sat, and even last night, I was talking to my wife, who's teaching the kids right now. I was talking to my wife, it was about 10:30, 10:45 at night, and I said, she said, you got your teaching done? And I said, eh. And then she asked me again, like, I didn't give her a satisfactory answer. And it was like, you know, maybe 5-10 minutes later, she said, did you ever get your teaching figured out? And I said, woman, I answered you. No, I didn't say woman. I said, I already answered you. I said, yeah, eh. And you could hear her sigh. It wasn't a satisfactory answer. So then instead of telling her anything that's going on in my head, I just read her this passage that we just got done reading. And I get done reading it, and she says, oh, that's what you get to teach tomorrow? Good luck. And so then I said, well, how would you teach this? And we start discussing all of these things and all these different facets of what it means. The first time I read through this, I was thinking, man, this sucks. I don't want to teach this at all. And I read through it again, I read through it again, I read through it again. Started kind of formulating some ideas, and I started reading some commentaries, and they were kind of helpful, but not 100%. And I started reading this, and the more you look into this, like the world that they're talking about, the world hates you. But you read it in this context of it mainly looks like religious people of the day. It looks like the Jewish people, because the big scary thing is these Jewish people are going to come kill you because of you're teaching Jesus. These religious people are going to come kick you out of the church that you've been in all your life and this religious structure that you've been in all your life because you're teaching Jesus. And Jesus really ticked off a lot of these people so badly that they want to kill him. They've plotted to kill him. We already heard that in the last few chapters when Judas ratted him out. And they're planning to kill him. This is all in this room, remember. This is all just within a few hours. These last few chapters that we're going through are all just within a few hours of Jesus' life. And Jesus has given these last words to his disciples. So I read this and I look at it and I'm like, well, yeah, it's just talking about like religious people, you know. It's just talking about the people, the Jews, it's fine. The world doesn't really hate me. I've never really experienced any kind of form of hate that I can recall for my Christianity, for my faith structure, for my belief structure. Like not in the killing sense, not in the I want you dead because you love Jesus sense. And I started having to dig deeper to find out, okay, well, what does this mean? What does this mean to be hated? What does this mean to be the world hates you? And in the Greek, the world is translated, cosmos is the word they use in the Greek. Sounds right, right? The cosmos, this big nebulous thing, the world hates you. But there's about 8 different ways in which this phrase is used. Here, the first one is an apt and harmonious arrangement or constitution. That's not it. That's not how it was used in John 15. Second one is ornament, decoration, or adornment. That's not how it's used in John 15. Third one is the world, i.e. the universe. That's not it either. Fourth is the circle of the earth or the earth as a whole. That's not how they're using it. It's the sixth one. And it talks about the ungodly multitude, the whole mass of men, alienated from God, and therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. That's the way this world hates you. The world hates you. As being translated in the Greek, is this hostileness towards Christ. And then it started to get a little more real for me. I started thinking, oh crap. I've been super hostile towards Christ. Oh, you know what? There's some times in which in my life I see my family members being hostile towards Christ. There's times in which I've seen my church family be hostile towards Christ. And then it started to get a little more real. My wife and I come from two totally different families, which is good. The crap that comes out of my mouth on any given Sunday, you think you're saying something just right, and then you're like, nope. Okay, anyway, we come from two totally different families, which is good. And my wife said something about, well, my family, you know, it's like when my family, and she starts unpacking this scenario. And I started to kind of get a little edgy because I didn't want to look at them as being hostile towards God. I didn't want to look at them as being this opposing force. Even though I've been hated by my own blood for the things that Jesus has had us do here at Whitewater in the last 8 years. I have a nephew who's going through Baba College and a father-in-law we found out that has warned him not to come here because of how we teach stuff. My father-in-law loves Jesus. His love for me is questionable. But so much so that he warned this nephew of mine, you don't go there until you're strong in your faith, so you don't get knocked off your guard. And in the midst of all the things that we're doing here, this beautiful place that God has made here in the last 8 years, and the love that I've seen poured out in this community because of what Jesus has been doing in us individually, the lives that I continue to see be changed, the victories that I continue to see, I shake my head and I thought, man, what? And that seems a little hostile towards Christ. Now, I hate saying that about my own family. I hate saying that about anybody that says they love Jesus but are hostile towards God. But look, I got done praying after worship, and what flooded my mind this week is the few times that I've been hostile. Towards Jesus or towards the work of Jesus or to the things that Jesus desires for me, but I say, no, I'm not going to do any of those things. I'm going to sit here in direct opposition to you and hate the very thing that you're asking me not to hate, which is you. Now, sometimes this passage is very much abused, and I've heard it here in my ministry in the last 8 years, I've heard it where people get really obnoxious for Jesus. There are people that have best intentions for others. I'm trying to milk this and sound good and not hurt your feelings. There's people that get it wrong. There's people that are just plain obnoxious, and they use this passage, look, well, the reason these people hate me is because I told them the truth. I don't know. Did you have to tell them on Wednesday and go back on Thursday and tell them again? Did you have to tell them on Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Did you keep bringing it up? You just keep beating them over the head with Scripture? You just keep pounding them with Jesus? Do you see how resistant they are to this very thing that you're telling them the truth? And well, they hate me because of it, and I don't care. I'm good. I'm on track. And they use this as a justification for their obnoxiousness, which is awesome. I'm able to speak about this because I've been this. And they think this oppression is this holy, you know, oppression that they're facing. And, oh, yeah, it's good. It's okay. I'll take it. Just bearing my cross for Jesus. And that's completely backwards. It's completely backwards from how Jesus has asked us to love. It's completely backwards from how Jesus has asked us to operate. That's completely backwards from anything that Jesus ever taught. But hey, we can defend it with Scripture, can't we? And so I got to teach about this hostility that we're going to face as Christians. And don't get me wrong, there is hostility that Christians face. We don't really face it much here in America. We don't. And if we do, it's fairly light compared to what happens in other countries, where they will knock down your door if you're having a Bible study and kill every single person in the household, where they ban all kind of Bibles or any religious material from coming into the country through border patrols, where people have to go under the disguise of a English teacher to get into a country and hope that there is a conversation that might be able to open up outside of the classroom walls about Jesus, because they can't talk about it in the classroom. There is persecution, there is hatred, there is hatred on this level that Jesus is talking about, that his disciples all faced, this killing because of this message that Jesus brought. There is that. But on a more practical level for us this morning, I have a good friend who came to know Jesus and was very excited about Jesus. And is in his excitement, he tells his best friend in the world about Jesus. Well, he and his best friend, prior to this guy knowing Jesus, they didn't care about Jesus. They were hostile towards Jesus, towards the message of Christ. They were some of the most materialistic people. They loved getting blitzed. They loved pornography. They loved all these different things were in their world. And so my friend comes to know Jesus, and he tells his friend, and I get a phone call right after this altercation happens, after he tells his friend about Jesus. And it wasn't this beating him over the head way in which he was told. It was very much this excited, look, this is what I found, and I want you to have the same thing. And this friend just said, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. And to this day, probably 6 years later, they have not spoken, and they were thick as thieves in the past. They have not spoken. They've not hung out. They've not done one thing for one another, because this guy just distanced himself 100% because of Jesus, because of the word of Jesus, because who Jesus is and what that meant for his friend's life. That's a very practical way in which the world can hate you, in which things can happen. I've seen it happen within families. We've had several people here baptized. We've had several people here accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they've sat in my office and said, I'm really nervous about getting baptized because I didn't want to invite my mom and dad, and they heard I was getting baptized, and they wanted to come and watch this process happen. They wanted to come and see what's going on, and they don't care for Jesus. They're hostile towards Jesus. They think I'm stupid for buying into this Jesus concept. They think I'm dumb because I'm an intelligent, degreed woman or man, and now because I'm choosing Jesus, I've checked my brains at the door somehow. But they're going to come and watch me make this commitment to live my life for Jesus. That's a very practical way in which it happens here. But this message, this abiding in Jesus, this you choose me, you choose to live this life, these things can happen, these things will happen. And the reason I'm telling you this is so that you can remember when they are happening that, oh, you know what, Jesus told us about this. Jesus told us these things were going to happen if we chose Jesus, which choosing Jesus is great, but what a lot of people don't understand is that it actually comes with a change of life. You come out of the world that you're living and you enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what most people don't understand is when they enter into this kingdom of heaven, they think heaven is this far off, distant thing. You know, when we die, some bright morning when this life is over, oh, I'll fly away. Which is complete false. The kingdom of heaven is now, is what Jesus continued to teach and taught his disciples. It is now. Live these things out now. Live my grace out now. Live my mercy out now. We just a few chapters ago talked about Jesus washing his disciples' feet and saying, this is how you love people. This is how you love one another. You become a servant. If you abide in me, I'm going to help build you up. I'm going to help you become this beautiful thing that you need to be. And because of this, you're going to be hated by the world. Because of this, you're going to be set apart, and you're going to be bringing the kingdom that's confusing to people, especially even religious people, especially people who love you and your family, especially your friends, because they're going to look at you and not understand what's going on, because they're hostile to the cause of Christ, because now we're no longer dependent on ourselves when we say, Jesus, I want what you got. Jesus, I want you. I love you. You're operating under a different system. You're operating within the kingdom, which now says, Jesus, I'm yours. What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to be? Where do you want me to go? And us as self-made Americans, we don't like to ask that question. Us as just people in general, we don't like to ask that question. We go where we want, we do what we want, right? I try to wrangle my children. I do. It's like tying two foxes' tails together, and it's ridiculous. Samson, yeah, well, my Nazarite vow. It's coming back. It's coming back. But we're people that don't like being told what to do. We're people that don't like being instructed really on anything that threatens us or our way of doing life or doing business. And so we become hostile. Even knowing Jesus, we become hostile towards Jesus. Doesn't that suck? We become hostile towards one another who know Jesus in these moments. And we become this very world that Jesus talks about. The world hates you. I hate you. On any given day. You hate me on any given day. You hate Jesus on any given day. I hate Jesus on any given day. Let's put it in those terms. Just rolls right off the tongue and feels good. But these are the things that we sign up for, and these are the things that Jesus continues to tell us. It's like the man or woman who takes into account everything, works all the angles before they come to Christianity. That's a scriptural thing. Counting the cost of what this is. Counting the cost of what you're getting into. And sadly, when I got into it at 11 years old, I'm just now playing catch-up. For the last 8 years of my life, I've been playing catch-up. And trying to figure out what this looks like. What does this really mean? Oh God, I'm supposed to have life change in this life. I'm supposed to have life change when I enter the kingdom living. I'm supposed to serve people that I don't want to serve now. I'm supposed to be in community with people that scare me. I'm supposed to be in community with people that make me feel uncomfortable. Not doing that. God, there's some really unbeneficial things in my life, but you know, I'm scared and terrified of who I'll be if I let those things go. I don't know who I'll be at the other side of this. That terrifies me. So I'm not going to do it. This is my life from 11 years old for the last 8 years. And I imagine that sounds a lot like your guys' life as well. And so this message that Jesus taught, this beautiful message that Jesus is bringing forth of being a servant to one another, abiding in Jesus, loving one another, is going to bring about some opposition. And it's only going to bring about opposition if you actually truly enter into the kingdom and you start loving people the way Jesus loved people. Not everybody's going to be opposing you. Not everybody's going to be upset with you loving them and being grace and mercy and light to their situation. Not everybody's going to do that, but there will be some. There will be some that are just as hostile as you to the kingdom, or have been to the kingdom, that will greet you with great anger and frustration and hurt. And in that time, we can remember the words of Jesus: I told you all of these things so that you'll remember when you face these things. That I told you. I told you so. This is Jesus saying, I told you so. And knowing that, knowing the cost of all of these things, are you willing to abide in Jesus? Counting that up, saying, this is what's going to happen. This is the potentials that I face. Will I still abide in Jesus? Will I say yes to Jesus? And that's the question we have to answer today. So God, we love you. We thank you for this crazy message that we have to give, that we have to teach, because you taught it. God, and we fully understand that who we are within you will put us at odds with who we used to be. And how we used to operate. God, we know that loving you is difficult for people to swallow, is difficult for people to understand, is difficult for family to swallow and understand, difficult for coworkers. But God, you are real and you are good and you are beautiful. And those of us who have experienced you, God, may we live in the kingdom that you've called us into. God, may we choose to bring that kingdom here and now, not this far-off concept, not this far-off place in a time when we die, but here and now. Are we willing to serve? Are we willing to love people enough that we would bend down and wash their feet? God, are we willing to love people enough at the risk of our own comfort? God, are we willing to speak truth in love without hitting people over the head and let you do the hard work? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to trust you like that? So God, that hostility that I've experienced towards you this week, that experience that we've all experienced being hostile towards you this week, and to your cause, and to your way, and to your kingdom life, God, forgive us. God, forgive us for that. Father, when we've abused Scripture and we've used this passage to defend our obnoxiousness, God, forgive us. Father, for those that are counting the cost right now as to whether they want to follow you or not, for whether they want to hear you and see you for who you are or not, God, I pray for them that you continue to speak boldly and loudly into their life. Father, you've been chasing them all their life. Father, I just pray that they will slow down and see you for who you are, and not for who other people have made you out to be in their hostility, in their hurt, in their anger. God, thank you for this community. Thank you for this community of people that love the community of Laramie, that love one another here, Help us set aside our own personal agendas to just have your agenda here of bringing the kingdom here as it is in heaven. We love you, and we thank you for all that you are and all that you invite us into and allow us to be a part of. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said...